This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for making yourself at home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Hello, hello, good morning. Here it's Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM. Your voice, your choice. You are here in the studio making yourself at home today. In this beautiful day, I'm so happy there is no more rain.
For now.
For now, right? So it's Monday and it's 11 a.m. and we are again making ourselves at home in this beautiful day. And I'm here. My name is Alina. I'm originally from Romania. And today I'm co-hosting with Clarissa from Argentina. Welcome back, Clarissa. How are you?
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I'm good.
Good, good. Clarissa had a big weekend, and she was at the startup weekend, so we were just sharing about her experiences.
I'm still spinning around.
I imagine. Yes, and today we have our beautiful guest, Pip. I know her as Pip, but I know her name is Penelope Kay. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Pip for quite a while, and Zumba was bringing us together, I think, a few years ago. First, I met her co-dancer partner, Carly, and I was going to her classes, and it was a great place for me to, to dance and meet other people. And afterwards, I met Pip, and she's full of energy, full of life, and I really enjoy that. So I'm very excited to have her today on the show. She is originally born in Wellington, as she said, and she grew up remotely in a remote farming community in the South Island. And of course, like many Kiwis, she set off to have her classical overseas experience. OE, right?
Mm-hmm. OE.
I didn't know when I came here in New Zealand what is OE.
Yes, everyone would have been talking about it.
Yes. So she was living in England, France, Ireland, and then returning back in Aotearoa. So after time in Te Kapo and Kaikoura, she eventually moved in New Plymouth, and so happy to have her from 2009.
Thank you.
So I'm looking forward to know more about Pip and her journey, not even maybe also around the world, but also in New Zealand. Mm. Welcome, Pip.
Thank you. Kia ora.
Kia ora. How was your day till now?
It's been good. My parents have been visiting. They're not from here. So we've had a lovely weekend with family. And
nice.
Now it's just get back to work and back to normal life.
Beautiful. And, tell us a little bit about you. I mean, I know that you are working at the moment for Conductive Taranaki.
Yes.
And do your Zumba as a side, right?
Yeah,
When did you move from Wellington? You said you lived in Wellington. How was that?
Yeah, I can barely remember it, to be honest. Yeah. I remember little snippets, but we were about six when we left there.
Yeah.
I have three older brothers, and the oldest was getting to an age where he needed to spread his wings a wee bit and maybe get out of the big city. And so we actually ended up moving down south, and then the rest of my growing up was pretty much down south, yeah, on small, tiny little communities where everyone knows everyone and everyone knows exactly what you're doing, which is wonderful. It's really comforting as a child, but as you're starting to get a bit older, it's like,
you need to change, right?
They really do know everything about you. So it was wonderful, and that gives you, I think, growing up in a small community like that and where everyone looks out for each other, it's a really nice way to go.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
But it's all I know, so I've got nothing to compare it to, really. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and it's also like you said that everybody knows everybody, and I feel that New Plymouth is similar, or it was like a bigger place.
Yeah, New Plymouth is, I mean, you can go to just about any event, I find, and you'll have a familiar face at least. You may not know their name, but you're like, oh, yeah, and then, so I don't mind going to something on my own, whereas at a bigger, bigger city, you know, it's way less comforting, I think. You're probably very unlikely to meet someone you know.
Yes, exactly.
So
yeah.
I do like that feeling of having the comfort of having a familiar face and things like that. But, yeah, where I grew up, there was probably, I think, about 26 kids at the school from age 5 to age 13. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I got the same.
Oh,
I grew up in a town that was 2,000 people living there.
Yes, yeah.
So we started from the kindy to the high school.
Yeah.
We always keep the same group of people.
Wow.
Like, we went through everything together.
Yes.
We were like, it started like 26 kids, and then we just, I don't know, we finished high school, 20 of us.
Wow.
But it was like, you know, those
really
friends.
That's really small, hey. Yeah.
The bonding for friendship is incredible.
Yeah.
And they do know everything about you.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're like your dog's name.
What you like, what you were like as a 10-year-old.
Yeah. And, it's, you know, this brings us back to the community, because obviously here what you created through your Zumba group, I think it's an amazing thing, you know, being part and bringing so many women. I don't know if there are any men coming to the Zumba.
We do every now and then. We get men come along, and I think they're really brave.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if I walked into 20 or 30
women,
you know, if I was a male and going into, you know, a group of women, or, you know, as a female going into 20 or 30 men in one, you know, I'd be feeling a little bit uncomfortable. But they're so cool. They're so amazing. So I would love to have more men come along, but it's not really a Kiwi thing. I think overseas, you know, Zumba and dance fitness, if you grow up in a culture where dance is, you know, it's just an accepted form of expression in your culture, then you would probably find that from Argentina.
I'm from Argentina, and I think in Latin America, a man who dances is considered like someone funny and someone you want to hook up with.
I keep saying to my son. Yeah.
And I grew up around amazing dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Like my flatmate here, he's a salsa and bachata teacher.
Oh, wow.
Like
fabulous.
He dances.
Yeah.
But it's not something you see a guy dancing and it's like, oh, why he's dancing. It's like they want to dance and they want to like go and talk to girls and and dance with them.
And it's the connection, the physical touch as well, isn't it? It's so wonderful.
As well as the personal expression, like when you dance, you move your body. But from the years I've been in New Zealand, it's been 7 already, I couldn't find good dancers down here.
Sorry. Sorry, Clarissa.
Unfortunately, we have to bring more Latin American guys here in New Plymouth, right?
I think so. But we get quite, even though I do, you know, Zumba and dance fitness, and we have a little bit, but it's a fitness focus more than a proper dance focus. You know, if I go to an event somewhere else, and, you know, we went down to Cuba Duper for the last 3 years, you go down there, and it's wonderful. But if I am in a bar or something and there's a man that is obviously from
Latin America.
Yeah, Latin America, and they come to dance with you, I freak out. Because I'm like, oh, my God, I know you're going to be amazing and I'm going to stand on your feet and, you know, accidentally elbow you or something like
that. I think
quite an intimate thing for us Kiwis.
Yeah, I think the good thing about that is we just want to dance and have fun.
Okay,
it's not like
we're
going to charge on your dance and your steps. The same happened in Europe as well. Like, I think the difference is in Argentina, where I grow up, you go to a place and there is music playing, so people would tend to dance. Here, you go to a bar, it's a cultural thing. You go to a bar, there is some game playing, like if it's not rugby, it's football. If it's not football, it's something going on the screen. People sit and drink, and then you wait
super long until you have the music and you dance. Mm-hmm. Not long ago, I went to the Scottish event that was here. They show us how they dance, and it was amazing. You were there. You learn how they dance.
Oh,
you dance.
See that
through many hours.
That would have been cool.
So, the message I wanna get across is go to Pips Zumba's classes.
Yes. So yeah, because I think this Zumba classes, you know, are amazing, and I know there are also other Zumba teachers that I go and on Mondays and Thursdays. How did you started the Zumba class, and what was behind it?
So when I was about when we moved down south, very, very briefly, I went to a ballet class when I was about 6 years old. Briefly, as in one term, something like that. That's what it felt like to me. Mm-hmm. And then we moved away from that area to a really remote area where there was no dance. So that was my little touch. So I was like, I remember being really, really upset at having to leave that and not be able to do that anymore. never danced other than, you know, nightclubs and things like that, where I would quite happily dance for about 6 hours. But
nice.
Yeah. But you know, when we came here, I was 6 months pregnant with our second child, our daughter, Livy. And we knew through the scans that she was going to have a cleft lip. And that was, you know, shocking our world, rocking our world originally. And then when she was about 3 months old, she started having seizures and so forth, and everything, our world changed. And a friend or two friends who I'd met through Fraser's work, so we'd only been here a matter of months, said, why don't you come to this Zumba class, you know? And I was like, what the hell's that? I've seen it on the ads. It's where they wear all those little, you know, those little crop bra things and cargo pants with wee tassely bits on the back. And I was like, ooh, doesn't sound like me, but oh well. I'll get out of the house. It sounds, you know, funnish. Yeah. And as soon as I started, like 5 minutes into it, I was like, oh, my God, this is my next obsession. Yeah. So I started going, like, to every class I possibly could. And it was my 1 hour where I didn't have to think about my daughter's health and epilepsy and, you know, issues and how I was going to, you know, have a different life. I could just concentrate on that, because you had to concentrate on it, as you would know,
right?
Alina.
Yeah.
You have to concentrate so you can follow along
and
and keep moving. So, that was my time. And then someone a year or two down the track, I think, suggested I do the training to teach it, just because I was so obsessed with it. And
wow,
I did, because it was a weekend away. You know, I really didn't think I was going to teach. I just thought, that sounds like a fun weekend. So I went away, did it. And then, you know, so my neighbour said, why don't you just give it a go at teaching? And so she came into my garage and I did a wee class for her.
Yeah.
two friends in the garage, and they were just do it. Don't think about it, just do it. Mm. And that's my motto now. Don't think too hard about things.
Amazing. So this started how many years ago?
So Livy was born in 2009, so I would have started classes in 2010 because she was a December baby. And then I did my training in 2014, so I've been doing it 11 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, amazing.
Yeah. Still obsessed.
Yeah, for me, it's when I see you dancing, it's a lot of energy, you know, so it feels like you really love it.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what is... when I'm going to Zumba classes, I want, you know, I want to see a person in front of me who is really passionate and that I can, you know, have this energy from. So I really love your dancing class, obviously.
Yeah, thank you. Mm. Yeah, it is. It's definitely my happy place. And I swear to God, it's the cure for many, many things.
Mm.
Back in my earlier days when I used to go out, you know, if you had a hard night or a long night the night before, the next morning, it makes you feel better. If you're feeling a bit ill, like if I start coming down with a cold or something like that, go to class. Just seems to fight it off. I mean, I can still get sick, but, you know, it's the cure for many things.
Yeah.
I never been to one of your classes, Pip, but after this conversation, I want to go. So when, how much?
So I used good to question. Just about do it every day, but now with work and that. So I do fortnightly on a Tuesday at 5:45 p.m. Fitzroy School Hall. Thursday, 5:45 p.m. Fitzroy School Hall, and then the biggest class is Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Fitzroy School Hall. It's all 1 hour, $8, or there is a concession card as well. So yeah, it's pretty cheap, and we want people to come more than once if they can, because familiarity is the key.
Yeah. Is there any age?
Any boundary? Age.
No.
I mean, Alina Brin's her daughter.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a picture.
Yeah. And it's wonderful. You know, I had three generations at one stage. So, honestly, anyone, and you can go at your pace. So you can go as nuts as you want. You can jump around like a crazy thing, or you can really just slow it down for yourself and go quietly and go low impact. So honestly, we have children, 20s, right through to, I think my oldest was probably late 60s.
So I'm going to ask the questions that probably the audience is thinking about. I am super uncoordinated. Like when people go to the right, I go to the left.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a problem?
Like anything, it's familiarity. At the start, whenever you do anything new, you feel like out of your depth, eh?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to lie, it takes a little bit of getting used to, you know. But if I see there are new people in class, you look like you want to dance already. She's she's talking about dancing and she's going for it.
Yeah.
Like anything, you know, when you first start, it's going to be overwhelming. Come back the second time, it's less overwhelming. Come back the third time, it's less overwhelming. And you get swept along with the other people, I think, beside you, in front of you and around you. So no one, I think the most important thing, like if I go to a dance class where you're learning something or routine, because every now and then I'll tap in and go to someone else's class because I'm like, I need to improve on this and I need to do this better and that kind of stuff. I feel like I'm on show and you are sometimes. They'll have a line of people and you have to do the dance and people are watching you, and that freaks me out because I'm not a dance trained person.
And I think what you do good, I mean, what I like, and also when I go to Puna's and Angie's class, I like when they bring people on the stage, you know, and then you go on the stage and you practice and you dance with the instructor. And I feel like when I was doing that, you know, I had so much energy afterwards and I felt so good. There is a lot of...
So you haven't been on stage with me? All right,
yeah,
good.
I've been with Puna.
I've got a new target now.
I think it's good for the confidence.
It is. It's hugely...
And I see also my daughter, you know, she was also on stage with Denji and Puna she's becoming more and more confident.
Yeah.
And she believes in herself, so when she goes home, she's dancing by herself without any, you know, filter, which is great.
That's exactly it. It really is. And I was always terrified of public speaking, to the point where I was going to do a BCom, and one of the things that put me off doing that was the fact that you had to do a whole sales and marketing portion and a pitch and all this. And I was just like, no, terrified. Absolutely terrified. And over the years of doing this, because I don't have to speak as such, I do now, you know, it's not public speaking, it's built up my confidence, and now I just get up and say things when I need to.
I think you get used to the exposure of being in front of a bunch of people, like, I know, like, you're delivering the class, and you might say, like, more right, more left, or whatever, but the fact of having a bunch of people in front of you that is following you is not like delivering a speech itself, but it's getting like the first exposure to that. Yeah. So I personally find that music and body connection through the music is amazing. It's been a life-changing for me. I've been in this helping Alina many times, and some of the audience might know that I went through the endometriosis journey.
Right.
That was super painful, but the dancing was the key. Yeah. Like, because when your body moves, it express, and it's super healing. Yeah. It's super powerful.
Yeah.
Super.
And it is a long journey, as you're saying, you know, just kind of letting go and not worrying so much. And the difference when people first start class, you know, I've got some that are brand new, right through to some that have been coming for 10, 11 years, you know, and slowly you learn to just relax and be yourself, and no one's judging you. And that's the thing, like, we don't watch each other. We have fun with each other, we interact, but no one's watching you and no one's judging you. No one cares what you're doing.
I remember when I was living in Christchurch, my urban dance teacher, she made us to be blinded.
Yes.
And dance, nice. Like, dance once. So it was like mind...
Was everyone dancing at the same
time?
Yeah.
And it was mind-blowing. So she was like, don't worry about getting right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just follow what I said.
Yeah.
Go to the right. Go to the left.
Yeah.
Let's left. Lift an arm. And
it would have been lovely to watch, actually. Because it would have been, everyone would have felt so much freer.
Yeah. But it was good, like, to be like, oh, no one is judging because no one is watching. And then from that you take over.
Yeah. I would love to have some really nice lighting where it was really low lighting for everyone in the hall,
right?
So that they're not so self-conscious. But, I mean, I've got, you know, there was a male friend that said to me one day, she said, so, you know, when I was explaining what I do, so you, like, you dance in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, with no alcohol. And I'm like, yeah, ma'am, I do.
It's a great, I think it's a great question that we as European and Latin American, we don't understand, because we don't need alcohol to dance. We are just doing it. And
I get that all the time.
Yeah, the question is quite,
I get that to the point that I was doing shops on groceries in the supermarket one day with my headphones, and I have some Argentina music playing on the background, so I was like dancing between the shelves.
It's me,
And someone came to me, like, tapped my shoulder and said, like, are you okay?
Are you okay?
Being like, thinking like I was stupid.
Can I help you?
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
And so interesting, right? It's because in these cultural differences, I think this is what is bringing us together. And like I saw on the Zumba classes, there are a lot of people from other countries.
Yes.
And they are just, you know, just dance, doesn't matter what.
Yeah. And it's interesting, like, I had a woman a few years ago from Nigeria, and she could never make it at the start of the class. So she literally ran in through the back door about 20 minutes before the class finished.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't dance any of our moves. Well, I don't care. But she just loved the music. She came. She loved being with other people, danced her own dances, danced up a storm, sweating like a crazy thing.
Wow.
Gave me a wave and off she went. You know, loved it.
Amazing.
And it just cracked me up. Like, we honestly don't care, you know, go left, go right, go whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's just about having fun and freeing. But for those that want to feel like they are learning the dances as such, we do repeat some dances, but every class is slightly different. So hopefully we try and sit in the middle there somewhere.
Yeah, you're doing really well. You're doing great.
Mm.
And because obviously, you know, Zumba and dancing, it's for us, like, making ourselves at home. So when I came here, you know, at first I was doing belly dancing, and then I joined the Zumba dance because our belly dance teacher, Rosalina, maybe you know her, she left.
I know the name,
So how is for you, like, in the place of making yourself at home, you know, with what else did you do, you know, when you arrived here or after your kids were born? You said Livy, so you have two children, right?
Yeah.
What was something else that you did besides Zumba?
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey, you know, the before and after Livy life in some ways. Fraser and my husband and I both remark that we feel like there was a before Livy was born and an after Livy was born, and that coincides with us moving here as well.
Yeah.
So the people that we know here really only know us post Livy, and it's not that we're different people, but how we've done things has been a little bit different to what we expected. So it has been, it's been really tough, to be honest, to meet people. Most of my, most of my really good friends are actually the Zumba people, that we do a lot of events outside of that together as well. We've got my husband's work group. They were fabulous when we first arrived. They really embraced us and brought us in. We had kids that were similar ages. So that was really sweet, the first 2 or 3 years, especially when all the kids are little and, you know, we go to a park and they'd all strip their clothes off and jump in the water and, you know, that kind of stuff. It was really nice. And then with conductive education, where I work, that is based around Livy's disability, that brought in another group of people. So like everyone, you have different groups of people.
Yeah.
And then also my son, who's 18, so 3 years, 2.5 years older than Livy, you know, the friendships that you make around their friends as well. Yeah, so I've got some great friends that are, you know, were his friends' parents. And yeah, so you, like everyone, you feel like you've got different groups of people, and sometimes your worlds collide and sometimes they're quite separate groups, and that's fine as well. So I think just joining as many groups as you can, trying new things, you know, like I can't be in 20,000 different groups all the time, but I'll try a, you know, a different class, or I'll go to a different gym, or a hobbies, based around hobbies, I think is probably the easiest way for me. Hobbies and work and children.
Especially when you are in a new place, that doesn't mean you need to be from overseas. As you say, you can be moving from Wellington to Kaikoura, Kaikoura to New Plymouth. You've been in other places as well, but just to make it short. And every time you go to a new place, sometimes you do not know anyone. And sometimes you do, but those are your, they are your friends maybe from before, but they might not share the same interests. So, you know, I just find fascinating how much you can connect to people, and how big can and how fast can your community grow if you are trying new things, as you said, and you put yourself outside of the comfort zone, and you find on the way what is for you. Because I don't know. I never tried improv before, and then when I was in Wellington, I was like, "Oh, wow! I like
Did you do that? It's so brave.
It's super good.
I tried it once. I was horrendous at it. I froze. So well
you need
done.
To try again. It's like Zumba. You go the first time. You need to keep going.
I break out in a cold sweat just thinking about it.
I imagine
that's very brave.
But it's I don't know, everyone is different. So I always say that what makes us equal is we are all different. We're all unique. Like, and it's the only thing we have in common.
I think everyone has the same, you know, or most people have the same basic needs, don't they? You know, to be loved, to be listened to be heard, to be recognized, to be acknowledged.
And to have fun.
To enjoy life. We're not here to go through misery,
exactly,
are we?
Exactly, right?
There's always going to be silver linings.
And it's amazing how, you know, we can bring all this together. And because you mentioned that your life completely changed, you know, when Livy was born. How was that for you, you know, again, you know, making yourself at home and in the new community? Because obviously you moved in New Plymouth when she was born, right? To find your tribe in that time. How were people with you? How did you connect?
Yeah, it's been interesting. So when Livy was about a year and a half old, my father saw something on the TV about conductive education. And there was nothing here in New Plymouth with regards to conductive education. So we travelled up to Hamilton for many years until she was about 5 and a half. Each week we would go up and stay for 2 nights up in Hamilton. And my husband and I would take turns. So that kind of ripped our family apart for three days of the week. So that was quite hard to meet people in the early days and form those friendships. So the early days are a bit of a blur, to be honest. But it was all based around, quite often around my husband's work and that kind of stuff. But through that, when we started up conductive education here, because there ended up being six families travelling up to Hamilton to go to conductive.
So this is how you started?
Yeah, yeah.
So you were
I started going up, and then about, I think, a year or 6 months or a year later, Craig started going up, and then another family, then another family, and then suddenly there were five or six of us all in the same class, all in Hamilton.
Yeah.
Going, this is nuts. We need to have this in New Plymouth.
Yeah.
We could see the value of it. The hospital system do as much as they can, as much as they're funded for, but you would get a block through the hospital of physio or OT, and it might be for 6 weeks, and you would have maybe 45 minutes a week, and that was it. So for us, conductive was just so valuable. So then we got together, and Craig Nielsen, who's an action man, started the ball rolling, and then all of a sudden we're opening doors in 2017. So we started the process in 2014, and 2017 is when we opened the doors. But that, you know, the friendships that I have through conductive education, not just the original crew, but the ones I work with, but also the families. So my role there now is whānau liaison, so working with the families, trying to help them. I'm not a counsellor. I'm not trying to counsel them through their emotions and their journey, but I am a person who's been through it already, and they're coming just slightly behind me age-wise. So trying to make their road a little bit less wonky, a little bit less arduous. But the friendships that you form through that are very, very real. You know, we have, when we're together as parents, we can be as un-PC as we like. So freeing. And you know that you, when you say something, the other people just get it. There's no, you don't have to filter, because our normal friendships, you have to filter conversations.
Yes, yeah.
And I know my friends would hate to hear that, but you do, because you don't want them to kind of, you know, get down on it or pity you or anything like that.
Yeah.
So you just, yeah, with a conductive ed or anyone in that kind of similar, like any, you know, path that you're travelling along that's similar, you can just talk the language and you don't have to filter, and they understand.
Yeah. I think it's just the lived experience, because like me, I'm working also in mental health, and you know, whenever you have your own experience with mental health and you are going through challenges, you understand people better, you know, and you can relate, and people open up to you much easier.
Yeah.
Because it's part of you, of who you are. And even though you're not a counselor, or I'm sure that your input, you know, it's such valuable for the families.
Yeah, and just being that listening post, because sometimes, you know, they'll even filter to their immediate family or to their partner. They don't say everything. So sometimes, you know, they just need to offload. And for me, it's been a skill to not take all of that on board myself, and I'm and I'm just getting some strategies around that actually. But it is really nice to feel like they might feel a little bit lighter after having a chat to someone else, and linking them together to talk as well, not just with me.
Yeah, with my friends, we have this game that is we listen and we don't judge. So we say, like, all together, like, for example, now. We listen, but we don't judge, and then we say whatever we want to say, that's it. And and then we go and we play around, like, kind of like, we listen and we don't judge. I don't know. And then we say something is inside.
Is that just with your friendship? That's really nice.
It's growing in Argentina. Like, we take it from, I mean, someone, some TikToker or something was doing that.
Yep.
Yeah.
To open up the space to be as honest as you want with yourself.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, but something like 80% of the time we say something to someone, that is for ourselves.
Yes.
Like,
Yes.
It's not we. Yeah. And, you know, when you go to your friends, they're like, oh, you can do this differently. It's just, it's because maybe you do to
yes.
do as well.
Yeah, that mirror thing. Hey?
So that we listen, but we don't judge. It's good. And for example, you know, if I do a practice now, is we listen and we don't judge. My boyfriend cheated on me twice and I forgive yeah. him because
yeah.
I love him.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then we move on. And it's where you find that space, that yeah. the space you're finding with the parents. You're going through the same pains, worries,
yes.
needs,
yes.
uncertainty.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's the language you speak in. Yep.
And you don't, and to let them know that it's not something to be fixed. You're mm-hmm. not trying to fix someone. Right. And especially yeah. With this, it's different to grief, it's chronic sorrow. So chronic sorrow, you revisit.
Mm.
And you will get those same, as you can tell, you'll get those same feelings again, and there'll be milestones that, you know, you get to, and, you know, they're different to what you thought they were going to be. So you revisit that again. So it's kind of, and then, you know, you'll say your piece and then you'll be fine. And you'll be fine
yeah.
again
yeah,
for another year or 6 months or
like
week
a,
or whatever it is,
exactly.
and then you'll visit again.
And
so.
I think it's like, it's a continuous grief, right?
Yeah.
That you, like, it's happening in waves. You
yes.
know, sometimes they're happy.
Waves.
And sometimes you're sad and
mm-hmm.
you don't know why it's happening, but it is happening. So
yeah, yeah.
I think it's so important that Conductive has you, you know,
yeah.
as a person there to relate to people.
Yeah, I think it's letting them know it's okay. Mm. And it's not, if you let it, it can be an amazing strength.
Yeah.
You know, the things that I've done because of and through and for, you know, because of our situation. It's been quite a life-changing experience.
I imagine. And it's like also the space to feel you are not alone, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Like, it's...
Yeah. Everyone thinks they're going through it by themselves.
Yeah, and like, we're not going... all of us through the same journey, but when you have few things in common like this,
yeah,
having kid with disabilities or something that has been life-changing for you
yeah.
and someone else as well, it's not the same
yeah.
situation, but it's that message that you are not alone.
Right.
I'm here for
yeah.
you. Like,
absolutely.
But then it's the other side, that the part B is... when you're listening to them, don't take in everything
yes.
on your shoulders
yes.
because
yep.
we tend to try to help people. And sometimes people just need to want to be listened.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
it.
It right?
And that's
yeah.
it. And they feel
oh, yeah.
so much lighter and better after just
yeah.
chatting.
Yeah. So at Conductive Taranaki, it's mainly, because I know you have like a Wednesday group, I think, right?
We have a group each, well, we have many groups. So
you have
36 children all together coming once a week,
yeah.
each week. Yeah.
Wow.
So
wow.
so it's a drop-in. It's not a place where your child will go all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in for a session. So a session for my daughter is 1 hour long. For some other children, it might be 2 or 3 hours long, usually in a small group.
Mm-hmm.
So we have those Monday through Friday school terms. So it's a pretty busy place, 36 kids each week coming
mm.
in, and with varying disabilities, some physical and intellectual. But, it's an amazing
so,
facility.
So, for example, if somebody wants to access your services, how...
Mm.
How do we get?
Just call us.
Just call
yeah,
you. Yeah,
just call us. We do have an inquiry form, but just call, have a chat. First
mm-hmm.
of all, you can refer yourself. You don't have to come through the hospital or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. Yeah.
So Conductive Taranaki, it's mainly an NGO, or how does it? How
so
do
we're
you receive funds?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a
cha-ching. So we're a charitable trust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So our whole ethos is we want any child that we can help, as in we have parameters as far as what their disability is and
mm.
things like that. We don't want money to be a factor that means that they can't access help. So therefore, we chose to go down the charitable trust route. So we have some major, major funders, which obviously Toys, they're incredible. Toy Foundation, shout out, they're amazing. So, and we do lots of fundraising. So we do heaps of events and just getting out in the public and having fun and try and base it around fun things or something a little bit quirky. We had Mad Hatter's Tea Party. We had Victorian Christmas party. Before we opened our doors, we had to first get noticed by the public and then raise some money. And so we thought the weirder, the better.
Yeah. Amazing.
They weren't actually our ideas. They came from great supporters of ours. Yeah, it's really cool.
Do you have capacity to receive new children?
We've got a wee bit of a waiting list at the moment, to be honest. It depends on, as I say, we have small groups. So if there is a space in that group, because, you know, children grow and learn and change, and we have different rates of change and things like that. So our groups can change quite often. So sometimes there's a space and a child will come forward and we'll go, perfect, fit straight in that space. Rather than having a long wait list that you know, number off and they come, it's not a fit for everyone. So it's really just come and have a chat to us first of all.
Yeah, and then do you have some kind of like volunteering you're looking at? Have people volunteers?
Especially with events. So we have some support workers in the classroom and the parents stay usually for the first, at the very least, the first few months, depending on the age.
Because they want to know it's safe.
Yeah, it's education for the parents as well.
Mm.
So conductive education is not just physical intervention, but it's education for the family, because you take it into your daily life. How we do things now with Livy, we wouldn't have learned otherwise, you know, and then you just build it into your daily life. So, from how she eats, how we sit her, how we move her around, how we interact, we've learned a lot about, you know, what inclusion really is for those with disabilities. So, yeah, it's really a different way of life. So holistic, we call it, but there's the hardcore physical movement that they have to do in class, so it's about them learning how to move their bodies in the world and ideally not rely on equipment, you know. So it's not, okay, well, you for my daughter who can't walk on her own, so you can't walk on your own, so therefore we'll put you in a wheelchair and that's where you will base your life. Through conductive, we learned, no, the more she moves, the more she can figure out how to use the world around her, the better.
It's amazing. This is amazing.
Yeah. I've seen the I'm asking the volunteering question because I don't have kids.
I got sidetracked, sorry.
No worries, it's great. I don't have kids, but I always want to do something for the community. I've felt myself super understood for so long that it's a different thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I can do something to help others, someone that maybe is feeling understood or feeling like that, I don't know, I can collaborate with, I always try to do it.
Yeah.
And also, it reminds me what you were talking about and the crossover with the volunteering. I've seen Maria Montessori film not long ago in the Italian festival.
Nice.
Film festival. And she was talking about that, like her whole approach at the beginning was about, if you put it in a equipment, they're not going to learn. Like, we need to use our bodies to understand what we can do.
Yeah.
So
it has really, it's changed how I think. When I, every now and then, I'll look and think, how would my life be now had I not come across conductive education? And, hugely different. I think how I approach things, how we, my husband and I approach things, it's from a, let's see how we can make it work, versus a, well, you obviously can't do that because, you know, it's quite a different way of approaching it. It's a more positive way of approaching things. You know, camps through school and things like that. It's not Yeah, probably not appropriate. It's more like, well, what can we change, or what can we do to facilitate, or who we can we tap into, volunteers, that can help us do this? So we have events, things like our children have tried surfing, which, you know, for someone who's not able to walk or anything like that, and my daughter used to hate the water, hate the beach. Well, she doesn't hate water, but hate the beach, hate the noise, hate the sand, hate the wind. Da, 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 da. I thought this was going to be horrendous. She loved it, loved it. But it took probably 10 people, volunteers, to facilitate that, because they create, they literally pick the board up, carry her out, wait for a wave, and then they have to have a corridor of people to catch her in case she starts going sideways or whatever. And she's strapped to the board, so she's hugely, you know, in a vulnerable situation. So we have lots of events that volunteers can help with. But I think also with my parents just on the weekend, Dad was saying, they do quite a bit of volunteering, always have, for various organisations. And he came across a woman, I can't remember how it was, but it was basically tapping into the older generation to help the younger generation, especially solo parents.
Yes.
And coming in, no judgment again, just come in, how can I help you? You know, whether it's half an hour a day or whatever. You know, I mean, it's so sensible. Because there's so many, that generational intertwining is depleting, isn't it? It's really disappearing. And to tap into these amazing, wise people to come and help. So I think there is a gap in disability and people with children with disabilities for volunteers to be involved in their lives, not just at events.
Yes,
I mean, to me,
yes,
that would be fabulous.
Yeah,
and I think it's a great call now. If anyone that listens to us and would like to offer their volunteering, they can get in touch with you. We will add your contact.
So many times you go out and about and you need an extra pair of hands.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, some of us get funding to have carers, but that funding, you know, is not able to be used for certain things, and also some people don't get it. And how wonderful for them to paid people as well when the money stops, when they move on to a different job or whatever, those people often disappear, which is understandable. It's a job for them, you know. But unfortunately, our kids get really sad because they build up these beautiful relationships with someone that's in their day, and then they've gone. Yeah. Mm. So usually the unpaid support, the volunteers, are in your lives for longer because they're there because they really want to. And I'm not saying those that are paid don't want to be there, but it's just the nature of the beast that they're moving on to another job.
So, because I know you will have an event for Livy, and at the moment you are doing a fundraising.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about it?
I have a million crazy ideas. I don't know if you've picked up on that, Alina, through class, but I do. My brain doesn't stop.
You are great. You are doing such a great job, and I'm really proud of you. I'm really amazed of you and the way you are inside. So, thank you for sharing everything.
It's very nice to hear. But so the fundraiser, so NAPA is where we're trying to raise funds for who to go to NAPA. So NAPA is an organisation that is around the world, and similar to Conductive, they're looking at the whole child. So there's a specialist physio, occupational therapist, and speech language therapist that we'll be tapping into. So at the moment, for New Zealanders to access NAPA, they need to go to Australia or further afield at great cost. So they have realised that there's a big market in New Zealand for them, so they're coming over to New Zealand and they're going to be in Porirua for 3 weeks. So they put the call out. About 200 families came back to them, drew names out of a hat, and we were one of the ones that got drawn out.
Amazing.
Which is wonderful. So it's three 3 weeks, 5 days a week for 2 or 3 hours at a time, so each day. And that equates to about $13,000, which is, you know, it's sizable. So the event, I thought, I've got to base it around dancing because Livy loves music. When you put a good song on, you know straight away because those hips start moving. It's nuts. If she doesn't like the song, she doesn't react. So, yeah, and she loves a massive range of music, you know, ravey stuff to hardcore metal to AC/DC to classical. If she loves it, she loves it. So it's going to be around dance and music. So I thought, wouldn't it be cool if you could have the latest trend overseas, I know, is like little daytime rave type of things in coffee places and so forth. So wouldn't it be cool to have a few of those in one? And it kind of the idea group. So basically it's three venues and three DJs, so one at each venue. And we start at Huatoki Plaza with a bit of music there, get your registration done. Then you go to Kerry Jordan Hair, which is a hairdressing salon, and she actually happens to be a DJ as well. So she's going to DJ there for an hour.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And then as a group, we walk through town to Escape Coffee. Amazing. All these venues have come forward at no cost. You know, it's just
amazing.
They didn't know me from the bar, so honestly. And DJ Teps will be there. So he's a resident DJ at many bars around the place. And so, yep, fabulous. And that'll be more 90s feel, so different to Kerry's music. It'll be more of a kind of a urban 90s-ish feel. And then we'll have about an hour and 15 minutes at Escape Coffee, going crazy there. And then we travel to Our Place Bar. And that's where Stace, who's one of the owners at Our Place, will be DJing. He's coming out of semi-DJ retirement.
Nice.
He's a policeman now. But he's a legend in town, so he'll be DJing there for another couple of hours. So it's like a wee tour of town.
Like instead of the wine tour, it's like raving tour.
Well, that's where I got it from, because I did the urban wine walk. And I thought, this is so much fun, because you're out and you're banging into all these people that you know, and everyone's really had a really festive feel about it. And I thought, wouldn't that be cool, but not necessarily based around lots of booze, just around the things that we love. Dance and music, so, you know.
Amazing. Who is invited to this?
So anyone over 18. It is a, there will be, like, Our Place is a bar, so. So, anyone who's keen on something just slightly different. It's only $40, so that's, you know, that's like from 4 o'clock till 9:30, if you want to keep going till 9:30, for $40. And all of the funds, like all of these people have donated their time, all the DJs, everything is donated, so all the funds will go to help Livy,
Where can we sign the event, find the event?
I always say it wrong.
Humanitics?
Yeah, Humanitics. So that's Urban... Urban Dance Tour. I forgot for a second. No, Urban Party Tour. Oh my God. Sorry.
Urban.
Bad promo. Urban Party Tour on Humanitics.
Is there any Facebook event as well?
Under that name, Urban Party Tour. We've got, and I've been doing, I put my parents to good work over the weekend. And yesterday in the pouring rain, we were walking around town putting posters up.
Nice.
Good.
So sorry if you suddenly see a poster in your shop window, but no. We did ask.
No, this is great. It's amazing.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll be fun. It's just something different, you know, and I like different. And the theme is bright colours because, I mean, you know, Livy loves bright colours, obviously.
Yes.
But, you know, it's raining a lot at the moment. It's a bit dreary. It's a bit grey.
Yeah.
I went to a party recently. The theme was bright colours. No one was allowed to wear any black or anything like that. And it was so much fun. So we're like, right, bring your bright colours, glow, whatever you like. Yeah.
Oh, this is a great idea. And for example, if maybe some people cannot come to the event but they want to donate, is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely. Through that site, there's a link for donation as well. So
the same, like Humanitics.
Yes,
you can donate.
Okay, yeah.
Wonderful.
And I'm actually looking for some light entertainment for Huatoki Plaza as well. So if anyone has any kind of, you know, I don't know, they're a real kind of slightly different dancing, all dressed up in something weird and wonderful. Fabulous. Get in touch with me.
Cool. So it will be 26th.
Saturday the 26th of July. So it's only two weeks away. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wonderful. Hurry up. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Yes, and because we are at the end of the...
Wow.
It was going fast.
It went fast.
Right?
53 minutes happened since we started, so
yes,
it's 11:53.
Yeah. And we usually ask a question for our guests at the end. What would you recommend for people who are new in New Plymouth or new in a new country or town? How should they integrate faster and...
Yeah, it's really hard. I think if you base it around your hobby, your natural interests, then that's one part of it that you've already ticked off. You're probably going to enjoy it because you're naturally interested in it. And I guess for me, the answer would be easy because it would be around music or dance or going to shows or something like that, and trying to tap into those groups. I think the locals here are wonderful, and there's a transient side to New Plymouth as far as that we have a lot of people from overseas, but the locals are amazing too. So don't be scared. If you don't speak the language very well, don't worry about it. Just come. Familiarity gets you in the group anyway. You know, you come to, you sign up, you come each week. People get to know you. Yeah. So be brave.
Yeah. I mean, I know you are very brave, so now I learned that about you, which is great. And, it's amazing to see how, sometimes life gives you lemons and you make a lemonade, it looks like.
Yeah.
And you are now helping so many people. And, yeah, I didn't know that you were doing the conductive Taranaki. And we have a lot of people that... I refer to, especially to the group, and I have a lot of good feedback from them.
Yeah, great.
It was nice to meet you. Meet you again. I'm sure that I will see you again in the community.
Angel.
Yes. Yeah. Next time I will wear my Zumba clothes.
Yeah, and I'm so going to get you up on stage now.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
So
yeah.
Good to know.
You need to. We haven't met before, but I want to say, like, it's been a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah,
it's amazing what you're doing out there, not only because the Zumba and the music and the connection, also like with all you do for the community and other parents as well. So I'm super glad I met you today.
Thank you.
You're super brave. You are. The journey is tough. Sometimes, but live that with joy and enjoyment is a key thing. And
absolutely.
I can see that through your eyes.
Yeah.
People cannot see you, but we can.
Yes,
so
we
it's
can.
Good.
Thank you. We will make a picture with her beautiful eyes.
I think one quick thing I just probably wanted to add, and I won't run you over time, but there are migrant families that have children with disabilities as well, and they are especially lonely. There is support out there, and even if it's coming to our playgroup, which is an inclusion playgroup, so early childhood, please reach out to us. Don't be scared because you don't know the language to reach out. And even if we can't help you, we'll put you in contact with someone else who can.
The volunteering as well can be that. Have a volunteer that speaks Spanish.
Oh, fabulous.
And they communicate faster.
Yeah, fabulous.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
That's why I ask.
Yeah.
Because I might not be able to help with the disability itself. I'm not trained for that.
No, you don't have to be.
Sometimes I'm the bounding, someone comes and speaks their own language.
Yeah, fabulous.
Yeah.
And if there are people from, because I know I work with, with people from other countries and they're quite shy, and I know that sometimes it takes a lot of courage to go out there and put yourself out there and it's not easy,
So
if people are listening to us and they're from another country and they will like their children to access conductive Taranaki, it's a great place for them to reach out.
Or just they need to know where they can get help. Sometimes is really hard to figure out on your own.
Yes.
So reach out to us and I might be able to steer you in the right direction.
Yes. And we will add your number or your Facebook
page. Yeah, fabulous.
Yeah. And then they can just contact you.
Yeah. And if you are from a country who loves to dance, or you just love to dance and you're feeling a bit lonely, come along to our class.
Yes, come along. Yeah. Come on Saturday, you know, Saturday morning, 9 a.m. at Fitzroy School. Usually my kids are always playing a basketball while I'm doing the Zumba.
Yeah, that's a handy thing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. In school, they go to the playground.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you very much. Enjoy your day.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. It's been really wonderful.
Yes. And thank you, Clarissa.
Thank you. Thank you. I love to be here. I love the mic. You know that.
Yes, we know.
Thank you for having me.
And I think the mic loves you also.
Thank you. Thank you, Bit. Again, thank you, Alina.
It's a wonderful thing you're
doing. Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.